Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another video from Fantasy Football Scout. I am joined by Sam, who's got, I'd say, 40% of her voice for this Q&A, but she's soldiering on to get it done. How are you, Sam?
I'm all right. We're going to have to use my voice very, very wisely today and hope for the best.
God, you're the one that carries us through these, so... Yeah, I don't know how this is going to work, but yeah, it's all the shouting you did at the Content Awards, right? You were screaming, cheering, going absolutely crazy. So yeah, I'm not too surprised.
I was basically a nightmare, wasn't I? Is what you're trying to say?
Yeah,
it's all those birthday celebrations. Just voice.
Bless. Right, we've got loads of questions to get through. Nothing really happened last night, luckily, in the Champions League. So it's not like we've got any questions relating to those. Nothing important. So yeah, it should be a fairly standard one, which obviously we've done loads of prep for, as always. Just before we get into that, I just want to talk about So Rare. So Rare is partnered with Scout this year. If you haven't heard of So Rare, it's a way of building a squad of players, collecting sort of collectible cards on the blockchain, which means they are kind of unique to you, or there's only a certain amount of cards in existence, and you can enter tournaments and compete against other people, win rarer cards, and so on and so on. The good thing is Scout have got a free-to-play tournament with So Rare, so you can learn all the basics of it. There's a link in the description, and you can play with kind of all the cards in existence and pick the cards, you know, pick the players that you think are going to do well. So Chelsea, obviously, are a good shout, although Lukaku is not fit, we don't think, which we'll be talking about, obviously, in this video. But yeah, give it a go. So Rare are giving away prizes in this free tournament. You know, these cards are actually worth quite a bit of money. Vinicius Jr. went a few weeks ago, €600. Nabil Fekir, €400. Terem Moffi, €175. And there's other cards to come. So there's no reason not to play. If you're interested at all in the kind of FIFA Ultimate Team style with cards worth real money, then I really suggest you get involved and give the Academy a chance. I'm playing it and it's a lot of fun. I haven't won a card yet, but I'm sure I will at some point. Right, let's talk Q&A then. I mean, we might as well just go straight into, you know, the main thing that people want to know about. Just one more thing. Matt Kent, RMSND, 1986, Lukaku replacements. And it's not something we thought we'd have to be talking about, was it, Sam?
No, worst moment ever, isn't it? Like the fixture against Norwich on the weekend. It's kind of like the perfect moment to have Lukaku in your team. Even with the form the way that it was, still definitely in that conversation about captaincy. And then last night happens and suddenly we were all going, well, that free transfer that I was going to spend doing something fun is now going to be spent fixing a massive premium problem. I mean, for me, Lukaku's been an absolute nightmare. I brought him in on my wildcard all those weeks ago for this fixture run, including those couple of games against Spurs where he had really difficult fixtures, but I was like, well, could easily get something out of those. He's returned nothing, not one return in the whole time I've owned him. And now I've got to sell him because he's injured.
Yeah. And it's one of those ones where I'm obviously, we never like injuries. Injuries are rubbish and, you know, wish Lukaku a speedy recovery with his ankle and all that kind of stuff. Purely from an FPL point of view, sometimes when a premium player or a heavily owned player, heavily backed captain player gets injured, you can see it as a bit of an opportunity to bring someone else in and move your team around. You know, you'll catch people out who maybe aren't, missed deadlines and all that kind of stuff. But there was already this big debate between Lukaku and Salah anyway, which I don't think any of us were considering a few weeks ago. We all thought it would be Lukaku now, but now everyone's just going to move to Salah. Yeah. Obviously, the question is, what do we do with with Lukaku, and instead of seeing it as an opportunity, I'm just looking at it and thinking, well, for the majority of people, I think it's going to be Vardy or Kane, right? That's just where people are going to move. If you've got money in the bank, you probably go for Kane. If you don't, you go for Vardy. Are you sort of in that camp?
Yeah, I mean, for me, it is kind of an opportunity, isn't it? Because in a couple of weeks' time, I was going to look to do the Kane move anyway, because the Spurs fixtures are nice from like game week 12. And with Lukaku's form the way that it's been, I was like, well, that will happen in a couple of weeks anyway. So actually, for me last night, I was actually in a meeting last night and I came out, got home, and Lee went, did you see what happened to Lukaku? And I was like, no, what happened to Lukaku? And my first reaction was, well, that just means I'll go Kane now then. There is a conversation to be had around Vardy, though, because his form is phenomenal and fixtures are nice. So definitely, I think he's got potential too. So there is a debate there, but there's also the cheaper options that we shouldn't overlook. Just because we've got 11.7 million doesn't mean we should rule out, say, Ivan Toney, who's got nice fixtures, or one of those kind of cheaper options, and just have some money in the bank and use it when you want
to. A lot of money, but you'd probably be going with about 5 million in the bank if you move to Toney. But I mean, that would let you strengthen, let you move up to a Son or a De Bruyne. Yeah. I mean, another question we had from Basil 1977 was, our premium midfielders being overlooked? Because we've got Son, we've got Mane, Fernandes potentially. Yeah. I mean, obviously, you know, Ronaldo's kind of proved again he's kind of the main man there, but he's been doing quite well. De Bruyne as well.
Yeah.
You know, scored
and De Bruyne
again.
He was one that we were all avoiding, not because we wanted to avoid him, but because how do you budget for him? You know, when you're at a point where you've got Ronaldo or Lukaku, and you've got Salah, and you've probably also got Trent, you're at a place where you were really priced out of owning players like KDB. But now, if you're prepared to take your Lukaku pick down to maybe Vardy, might be enough to get to some, but to Toney or someone in that bracket, and suddenly you've got KDB money. So maybe actually this is an opportunity to differentiate your team a little bit and have some differential premium picks, who are never differential, but this season they are because of the way the budgets have gone.
Well, I mean, Kane is falls into that bracket nicely, right? 5% owned. I couldn't believe it when I saw his ownership on the site. I mean, when the news broke, there was probably about 5 or 6 people. I was doing Black Box last night, about 5 or 6 people straight away said, Sam's getting Kane.
Yeah.
Straight away.
I will. I haven't done it yet.
So you are getting Kane then?
Yeah, yeah, I haven't done it. The only reason I haven't done it yet is because obviously Spurs play tonight. So because I don't want to be in a situation where I make a move for a... Because Vardy is also a really decent option. But I think for me, I want to go early. I think if you go early on a Spurs player and they continue the form that we're starting to see from them across the competitions, then you're in a really nice place. So I want to make sure that the conference goes without a hitch tonight. Of course, it's the same for Jamie Vardy with the Europa League tonight. Mm. So I would recommend...
They played already.
Oh, yeah, of course, they played yesterday early, didn't they?
Yep.
Yeah, they played in that really early.
Patson Daka, 4 goals.
3 o'clock fixture yesterday.
Very strange.
Yeah, weird one. Of course, so we just need to be aware, I think, that we still have fixtures tonight. And same, obviously, with West Ham. So if you get other problems that come out of tonight, you just want to be able to react in a educated way, I think. So I am going to go Kane unless something horrendous happens this evening.
Which could well happen, because that seems to be happening as it's going. I mean, going on form this season, there's no contest between Vardy and Kane.
Absolutely.
Vardy's points are, he's blanked twice in 8 games. He's had returns of 5, 12, 8, 11, 8, 8, 7 goals, 1 assist, you know, averaging a return every game.
Yep.
Essentially, the fixtures are they're okay. I mean, Brentford away is tough. Brentford are posting some good numbers. Then it's Arsenal at home. Who knows what we're going to get with them? Then it's Leeds away. That's a good fixture. Then it's Chelsea. But then they've got Watford, Southampton, Villa, Newcastle. So it's a pretty decent run for Leicester, sort of in amongst some tougher games. Kane, on the other hand, I mean, he got his first returns against Newcastle. He's blanked against Villa, Arsenal, Chelsea, Palace, Watford, played 18 minutes against Wolves. But he looked better against Newcastle, didn't he?
Yeah, and he looked a lot better in against Villa, and he looked better in the minutes he got in the conference last time around. So every time I watch him, he looks a little bit better and a little bit better. And if this had happened 2 weeks ago, I would 100% have gone Vardy. It wouldn't have even crossed my mind to have bought in Harry Kane at that point. it potentially would have crossed my mind to go, well, let's take him right down and go Son, because Son is in good form and you could invest that way instead. But with the way that my team is, I ideally want to avoid taking too many hits this season. And sometimes you need to. But in this case, with the Lukaku injury, I don't need to. I can go Kane without a problem. And I can go down to Vardy. But I'm looking at Kane thinking, I'm just starting to see traction from you. And I'm looking at the fixtures that Spurs have got. He's returned in three of the last four against West Ham. It's always a good game, that game. It's always got goals in it. There's real potential there, I think. And then Manchester United defence next time around, well, they've been incredibly off it so far this season, defensively anyway. So there's potential there. Plus, it means I'm not banking a transfer for a few weeks' time, which I know I would want to do anyway, because I would have wanted to go Lukaku to Kane at that stage anyway. So for me, I kind of think, well, I'm just going to go early on it, because as a differential, if he returns, which I think he could, it's going to put me in a nice place.
Some great comments in the chat. We've got Zvonimir Boban says Spurs are bad. Tough to pay 12 million for Spurs players when Palace and Brighton are better than them. Ouch. I mean, league-wise, you know, Spurs are right up there. I haven't been impressed with Spurs at all. I wasn't particularly impressed with them against Newcastle. I think Newcastle were just bad and were kind of treading water until Bruce went. But Kane did at least look like he had something about him.
A bit lively.
The thing is, he's not playing with a smile on his face. Not like Son. Son looks the happiest man in the world.
Son's always happy.
But Kane,
anything could happen to Son and he'd always be happy. Whereas with Kane at the moment, I don't know. I think there's been a hell of a lot of negativity around Kane, basically since the Euros finished, not in any way to do with the Euros, but obviously the Euros was the nice thing that was kind of going on and it was hiding everything that was happening behind the scenes. The Euros finished and suddenly it's all very difficult and it's a bit messy and a bit nasty and it was a bit unnecessary. And I wonder whether we're just starting to see him kind of mentally put all that behind him and just focus in on what he's supposed to be doing. Whether he's happy about it or not is another matter entirely, but we are starting to see just putting in some performances again.
Yeah, I mean, it is a tricky game for Spurs. I fancy West Ham in this game. I don't think it's a good time to be playing West Ham. They're, you know, grinding out results against teams like Everton, playing well, attacking numbers are good. Then it's United. Okay, that should be sort of fairly even, given the way both teams are playing at the moment. Everton away, okay, that's not too bad now. Doucouré's out, but it's still a bit of a mixed bag. I mean, Darwin Singh in the chat says Kane captain. So we've really got a mix of opinions. Like,
it's really hard, this one, and I think that's in some ways nothing's good about Lukaku being injured, but the fact that not everybody is going to go one way will make this very interesting. And of course, you've got the people that early went on Lukaku this week, the ones that did Ronaldo to Lukaku or whatever earlier on in the week, and now they've got to take a hit for it. So it's quite a lot of pressure to get this one right, I think, because if you get it right, then it's going to really help your rank, because not everyone's gone the same way.
Yep. A name that's coming up quite a lot in the chat, Wilbur Games, Jampat 14, Khalil Saliba, Kudakashwi, Leslie Mugamu, apologies if I've butchered your name, all mentioning Havertz. Some talking about captaining. Khalil Saliba says going to captain Havertz. Our Yusuf says he's going to get Vardy and Havertz in. So, you know, and again, Rueda Flynn, again, says thoughts on Havertz. So Havertz is someone who was just completely out of the picture. Lukaku got injured. Everyone was thinking, oh, Werner might be the one now. He's going to be playing up front. Werner gets injured as well. And it's suddenly like, okay, well, now Havertz is going to be playing maybe in that false nine, sort of nine role. I have no faith in him whatsoever to deliver as an asset. But it is the kindest run of games imaginable, really, for Chelsea. So if he's ever going to step up, it's surely going to be now. Norwich, Newcastle, Burnley in the next three. If he gets those three games up front, out of position, he's a bit of a... do you reckon he's quite a shrewd pick?
Could be, couldn't he? But I just, like you, I just don't trust him. Like, I don't trust that he's necessarily going to start in every game. Like, will he play in the place that we want him to play? Could Tuchel just stick Alonso up front? Like, that's not likely. But you know what I mean? Like, it's Tuchel, right? He tinkers around.
They haven't got any other options.
They haven't got... because Pulisic is still out, I think, as well, isn't he? So they've not got him as an option, which basically means they are a bare bones. I don't know. I just don't trust. I've got trust issues with Chelsea generally, I think. Lukaku obviously let me down a lot. There's the defensive woes of rotation and not knowing whether you should invest in who, which one of them. So I've got Chelsea trust issues. I think Havertz could be a brilliant differential. But for most managers, it's going to be a hit as well to bring him in this week because it's that change of position thing from Lukaku. So I don't know. Probably play it safer, to be honest.
No, I mean, I could do Lukaku and Rafinha out for Havertz and Vardy, for example. But like you say, it's a hit. It's getting rid of Rafinha. My midfield is sort of relatively solid. I'm seeing people thinking of switching the likes of Foden out for Havertz. It just strikes me as one of these transfers that you're just going to regret. You know, like, you know, every time in a season you think something's too good to be true and you think, oh, someone like Havertz playing at false nine with these fixtures. And then you look at it in 3 weeks and go, oh, yeah, actually, he was completely out of form and out of favour and he's kind of being shoehorned into a role that probably isn't his best. So, yeah, I don't know. I think if you can do it in one move, if you can do it for free and you can move out, you know, maybe you've got money in the bank and you can move like a Sarr out or a Benrahma or one of these players who maybe are a little bit off the boil. I think it's a decent punt. But I think most of us are going to be focusing on getting rid of Lukaku, which means it's going to be for a hit, which, yeah. If you've got two free transfers, maybe it's a bit of a punt. Captain's got to be too far though, surely. Surely it's Salah this week.
I think it is now, yeah. I think Salah before was, even when Lukaku was here, he was still probably favourite for the armband because of how well he's been playing. And now I think with Lukaku out, I literally want to go Vardy, which I could see. Differential punt on Kane, maybe. But yes, Havertz.
Fergus Bolton, do you not think it's a great hit for people with Jota and Lukaku? I mean, Jota to Havertz, for example, is a nice move. We've had questions about Jota. Vardy boys asked, do I start him? Do we think he'll play? Would you just play Livramento? I mean, honestly, I can't see Jota starting this game. I would be very, very surprised if Jota broke the front three of Firmino, Mane and Salah, which is working so well at the moment. Firmino's in great form, you know, getting all the goals against Watford.
There was a random rumour about Mane being benched for Jota this week. So, I don't know.
I mean, where's that come from? I mean, Mane's been doing pretty well lately.
It's bizarre. I mean, there was a lot of... As a Jota owner, I've been doing a lot of kind of looking at him because that was my original plan this week, was to take him out for Mbeumo. And now, of course, I've got a Lukaku-shaped problem to solve. So now I'm kind of on the... I've got to decide whether I want to take a -4 to do him as well or whether I just keep him and see what happens. Knowing that if he doesn't play, I have got bench players that can come in. But then equally, do I see him getting benched 2 Premier League games in a row without getting any minutes? I'm not sure I do.
Well, he'll probably get 20, 30 minutes. He won't start.
I don't know, you know. I think there's a chance he does this weekend.
Really? I don't think there's any chance he starts this weekend. I really don't. Not away at Old Trafford. I mean, Klopp prefers Firmino in these games anyway. I can't see him benching Mane at the moment. They're gonna want to do United over. It's a great time to play them. Defensive numbers are really poor. Liverpool are in great form. I would put it 80-20. Jota doesn't start.
Interesting. Again, though, it goes back to the fact that I guess his record off benches is really good. So you have to kind of consider again, if he gets half an hour against that Manchester United defence, could he return? Yes, I think he could in 20 minutes, 30 minutes against United. Could he return more than a -4 for another player in that position? That's the question, isn't it? Because you've got to account for the -4 if you've got a Lukaku problem to solve as well and you don't have 2 free transfers.
I think if I had Jota and I could move to Havertz for a -4, I think I would do it this week. I think Jota's a problem. I really do. I think people who've got him are going to kind of... Have you got him?
Yeah.
So you're convincing yourself with the exact argument that I hear from a lot of Jota owners. Oh, he only needs 20-30 minutes to score. But it's...
Like I say, originally he was going to be my transfer out this week. There was no... I said that on our live stream on Sunday. Like, I'd 100% decided ahead of game week 8, the game week 9's transfer was going to be Mbeumo in. But the Lukaku thing has kind of put a spanner in the works, because now I've got a debate with myself as to how far I think that -4 is worth it. Mm. And it's the -4. I think if I had 2 free transfers this week, I'd do it. But with the -4 at play, I'm kind of like, well, I'm not sure now how I feel about those transfers. So I'm just got to kind of ride out today, see how we feel on the back of that. See what, obviously what happens across the European games tonight as well, because Antonio gets injured tonight and suddenly Jota's not a problem, because I've got to deal with Antonio and Lukaku and that's it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, this is it. I mean, you know, owner of Fantasy Football Scout, Chris James, what does he do early this week? Brings in Lukaku. And now he's stuck with an injured player on his side. So, yeah, I mean.
What's he going to do now? Take a -4?
Yeah.
What happens if Antonio goes tonight? -8.
I know. Like, I mean, getting a player in before Champions League games is, you know, well, doing an early transfer is risky in itself. Doing it before Champions League games is even more risky.
I guess we all thought that Lukaku, I mean, I genuinely thought Lukaku wasn't going to play last
night. No.
Like, with Tuchel's comments about how he's mentally tired and he needed a rest, I was like, well, either he's playing him in the Champions League and resting him against Norwich, or he's resting him against in the Champions League and playing him against Norwich. So when he was in the team sheet for last night, I was like, oh, that's not boding well for this Norwich game at the weekend. I'm definitely not captaining him. And then obviously came home to the news that he then got injured in a game. So it's like, well, even more of a problem.
Yeah. Yep. We've got questions about Sarr. So Robert Dalton has asked, looking to drop Sarr. Should I move for Foden or Bernardo Silva? Jay Rock as well in the chat says Sarr to Bernardo. Nuclear Atoms, should we keep Sarr? Have you got Sarr?
No.
I got rid of him on the wild card. I mean, the good news for Sarr owners is he played up front. He played centrally, which is kind of what you wanted. We thought that might happen. And
the bad news is he plays for Watford.
The bad news is he plays for Watford. And they were absolutely shocking against Liverpool.
Awful.
I mean, not, you know, it's hard to judge a team when they play Liverpool, but you still want to see a bit of fight, a bit of spirit, you want to see some tactics. And
they were terrible. And the problem is actually he wasn't bad, Sarr. He wasn't bad.
Hit
he played
post.
Right in that game. His movement was good. He did everything that he was asked, apart from score a goal, but the rest of the team around him were dreadful. So how good can you be when you're playing in that Watford side? And the reality is that Ranieri's been brought in to try and save them in terms of particularly their defence. They're not in a good place. The fixtures are awful, awful. They don't get any better this week either. So for me, he's if I owned him, he'd be a very, very easy sell this week.
The one positive about the fixture this week, because I agree, it didn't look good on paper before, but with Decore now out, we're going to see probably
DCL delayed again.
Calvert-Lewin delayed. Not sure if Richarlison's going to be fit. It's, you know, it's like every week it's more and more patched up this Everton side. So if ever Watford aren't going to get a result against Everton, it could be this game. But I don't think I'd sell him. If I'm being honest, I mean, people are talking about Bernardo Silva, Foden. I don't think you're going to have an easy game against Brighton this week. You're looking at potentially some rotation there as well. Although I do think Pep will go quite strong, but you'll have to go quite strong, to be honest.
Yeah, because absolutely. Brighton are so good defensively, but he's going to have to go with his big boys up top, because if he doesn't, they won't break Brighton down easily.
No, but you've got the point sharing between them. I mean, at least with Watford, you know, if Watford do score, you're almost certainly going to be Sarr getting involved.
It's just more of an if, isn't it? Whereas with Man City, it's like I don't think they will this week, by the way, but they could easily get 3-4 goals in a game. This week, it'll be much tighter. And across those 3-4 games, there's a good chance that your player picks up something. Might not get lots, but they'll get something. Whereas I look at Sarr and I think, sort of relying on a bit of Sarr magic, really, because I'm not seeing anything from anyone else in that Watford side that impresses me.
There you go. That's helpful. I say sell. You sell. You say keep. I say keep. You say sell.
Back to normal. Disagree.
That's good. That's what people want. some other questions. I mean, there's a few people asking about Mahrez as well. I mean, I don't know. Mirko Topolovic has Mahrez. Would you switch him for Havertz from -4? Yeah, I cannot see Mahrez starting in the game. I think Gabriel Jesus will come back in.
I mean, Mahrez was a good pick for last week, I think, on paper.
On paper. But he always is. He always is a good pick on paper and then never does anything else.
But I don't think he'll start this week either. So I actually think in that case, if it was a Mahrez sell, I probably would take a minus four because I don't see him getting any minutes necessarily.
No, and it's one of those ones where it gets rid of a problem for you as well. Yeah. I mean, potentially bringing in Havertz creates another problem for yourself. It's hard to advise because we need some information on how long Lukaku and Werner are out for. I mean, if they're out for weeks, you know, if they're out for 3 weeks, I think Havertz becomes a really serious option for these three games that he's got. If we're getting a few, he might be back, even not really sure, you know, blah, 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 then it gets a lot more risky. The kind of general consensus I'm seeing on Twitter from physios and specialists is that the way his ankle twisted is that he's going to be out for 3 to 4 weeks minimum. That's what I'm seeing last night.
Yeah. On crutches around the stadium. I mean, the thing with ankles, as I know all too well as a Spurs fan, is that if you don't give them the time they need, they will come back worse than they did before. So if I don't see him being back in the next couple of weeks, and therefore with the other injuries that Chelsea have got, they're going to have to play Havertz.
Yeah. I mean, I think just like Moshe SRF says in the chat, Lukaku will be out until after the next international break, game week 12. I think that's the most likely. I think that's the most realistic return for him. Obviously not confirmed. We do see these players miraculously recover. You know, don't forget last year, Sauna torn his hamstring and then 3 days later, he's back in the starting lineup and scores.
He's magic.
Scores about three goals, yeah. But I don't get that sense with Lukaku. I think the look on his face when it happened, the pictures of the twist, the expert opinions that are going round, I think he will be out for a while. So yeah, I do like Havertz, but I do think it's got to be one way. I think if you're getting rid of a player who, you know, like a Sarr or like a Jota or someone
or Doucouré, if you've got Doucouré
or Doucouré, exactly. If you're moving from someone who potentially isn't that good an option for this week and going for Havertz, then it's a punt that you can kind of justify. But if you're having to take minus fours, minus eights, you know, ripping your team apart for Havertz, captaining him, I think that's probably going a bit too far. What do you think about Bernardo Silva? Because again, I mean, a lot of people in the chat asking about him. Nirav Doshi says Bernardo Silva. Foden to me is the one to go for, but Silva is the highest scoring Man City midfielder that there is at the moment. He's got two double digit returns, got 11 points against Burnley. He's started the last one, two, three, four, five. He started the last seven games as well, and he was a player who I thought they might sell over the summer, but has sort of come back into it. Do you like him as a pick? He hasn't got the best kind of FPL pedigree, but he's playing well at the moment.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because last week, obviously, went for Foden. And I did look at Silva because I was like, you know, is this going to be one of those real trauma moments where we all talk about, you know, Foden and Mahrez because they were the big topics last week and it's Bernardo Silva that is the one that bangs. And of course, actually, yes, it was Bernardo Silva. Mm. I don't know. I think longer term, I wouldn't want to have Bernardo Silva, whereas I'd be happy to hold Foden. So I'm not sure.
You've always got that worry with Silva that he will just kind of fall out of favour in the team. And I just think this is finally the year of Foden for me. Mm. I think, you know, every match I'm seeing now, he's consistent, he's creating chances, he's getting forward. He looks to me the player who's the most likely to be in the points. Complete opposite of Grealish. I think Grealish is playing well and doing all the right things, winning fouls, all the things we wanted, but just isn't anywhere near getting points. I mean, another sort of five goals scored by City. No sort of fantasy returns for Grealish in that game. Pushed out over to the left. Yeah, he's kind of there's an option. So I think it is between Bernardo and Foden in that role. I mean, De Bruyne's there as well. I mean, De Bruyne's there at 11.9, scored against Burnley. He started the last three games, got two goals in those. Subbed early in the Champions League. I do think that you can make a strong case for getting rid of Lukaku and getting De Bruyne him.
I think you can now. Lukaku's injured. I think last week it was really hard to justify KDB because of the cost and how you were structuring the rest of your team. But with the Lukaku injury and with Ronaldo still out of form, I think now there is a case for saving the money and going with De Bruyne.
Yeah, I mean, the fixtures are Brighton away, Crystal Palace at home, which start of the season would have said would be easy, but they're playing
not
well.
So much.
Then United away, then Everton, then West Ham, then Villa. I mean, they're not they're not the best fixtures ever, but they're not bad. I still fancy City. I mean, there's no one really that I don't fancy City to score against. It's 3% owned, De Bruyne. That's what I like about it. I mean, Kane's 5%, De Bruyne is 3%. So these premium, you know,
big swings this weekend.
Yeah,
if you own them.
Absolutely. We had a question of, you know, are these premium, you know, assets being overlooked? And well, yeah, they are, because you've got De Bruyne, one of the best players in the world, at 3% ownership in the league. Yeah,
it's so madness.
It is madness. So I like De Bruyne. I think, you know, if you're getting rid of Lukaku and you want to get a Man City player, I think De Bruyne is the one to get, because you've also got some budget forwards that are looking half decent. I mean, you've got Broja at Southampton for 5. If you want to go really budget, you've got Edouard at 6.5, who's got Newcastle at home this week, who looks good. You've got Mopay if you want to ruin your life like I did. But you know you can move Lukaku down to one of these guys and upgrade one of your, you know, Decores or Sars up to De Bruyne. I think it's sort of hopefully fairly easy if you've got a bit of money in the bank. Okay, one other question then. We've got a few questions asking about Reece James, so let's talk about Chelsea defenders in general. Anyway, question, I mean, we answer this pretty much every week. Obviously we saw Alonso and Rudiger both miss out the weekend. They got the clean sheets. Christensen owners were rejoicing, as were us, were quite rejoicers, as was anyone who got in Chilwell, who scored another goal, started again, third consecutive game in the Champions League. Who do you reckon starts against Norwich? Because surely Alonso comes in, right? I mean, if it's Chilwell again, he's just so out of favour, it's ridiculous.
I mean, if we go by how he normally goes, it should be Alonso against Norwich, because normally it's Alonso against the slightly easier attacking sides. But will he drop Chilwell after coming back? I mean, part of the reason that Chilwell was out for so long was because of his mental health. He's come back. He's played well. He scored a couple of goals. Would he drop him now on that basis? Like, he's got him back. It's difficult to see him taking him out this weekend. Mm. Then you've got the kind of Reece James conundrum on the other side, because he's back, but it's not been starting. Did come on in the Champions League for a bit, came on in the Premier League for a bit. Is now a bit of a risk of coming on for one point here, like, if he doesn't start. Rudiger was back last night. Rudiger and Aspilicueta feel like the ones that are going to be the most secure. The wing back, I think he'll play Chilwell.
You think he'll play Chilwell? Interesting.
Yeah.
I think that he's mentally, he's got him back and he's doing well. To drop him now, difficult.
Yeah. Simon H, I mean, Chilwell came off 66 minutes, Alonso came on, so it wasn't a full rest for Alonso. I'm going to say Alonso starts. I think with Chilwell.
Would you invest in either of them?
Well, I've got Reece James. I've got Reece James, who I would probably argue is the worst of the three, because he's by far the most likely to come on. I think he's come off the bench for Chelsea 12 times, Alonso 2, Chilwell 0, I think. And it's because, you know, you've got Chilwell and Alonso, very similar players on the left. Whereas on the right, they've got three very different players. And Azpilicueta,
they can change it up.
Azpilicueta, Hudson-Odoi and James. So if they're chasing game, they can bring James on. If they're looking to be more defensive, they can, you know, shift things around. There's a lot more tactically going on that right-hand side. So yeah. I've got James. I'm hopeful of a start against Norwich. I mean, surely he starts against Norwich.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't need to play a more defensive... You don't need to play Azpilicueta right wing back against Norwich. Surely they put James in. He is a differential. I mean, he's very low owned, 5.1%.
But if you were if you were an Azpilicueta owner this week, would you be worried? Because they don't need to play Azpilicueta against Norwich. You wouldn't have thought, with Rudiger back, with Reece James available.
But he goes to centre back, right?
He does, but then.
Because Thiago Silva played in the Champions League, so it's probably going to be Azpilicueta, Rudiger, and Christensen. I would have thought at centre back. I'd be pretty sure that was going to be the back three. I mean, Sarr could carry on. I mean, he played against Brentford and played well. It just seems Azpilicueta just doesn't really seem to to miss games.
He doesn't. I just wondered whether, you know, you look at everything that's happened at Chelsea this week with the, you know, Werner and Lukaku injured, and they're going to have to play slightly differently to accommodate for Havertz moving up top. They're going to have to shift some stuff around. And this is one of the easiest games that they're going to play in the Premier League this season at home against Norwich. If there's ever a time where Tuchel rests Aspilicueta, this would feel like it was a moment where he might.
I mean, put it this way.
Because when else would you rest him?
If I had him, I wouldn't be selling him.
I wouldn't sell him, but I'd just worry slightly. I think I'd just always worry with the Chelsea defence because, you know, I feel okay about Rudiger now.
Mm.
He's the one I have. Obviously, having seen him yesterday, that's made me feel a bit better about my life and my decision to go with him over Aspilicueta 2 weeks ago. I don't know. The Chelsea defence is an absolute minefield, and Rudiger and Aspilicueta feel like the safest, but I do, even with them, at some point, surely Aspilicueta's got to get a rest.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, for me, I think a very sensible play is just to grab one. I think Rudiger is the one to grab. I think you get Rudiger, and then you can get one of Alonso or Chilwell, and I think Chilwell is potentially the favourite at the moment. He's a bit cheaper, 5.7 compared to 5.9, scored in the last two.
And so would you double up?
Well, I think you can if you've got Livramento. I've been saying it for weeks. I think Livramento is the enabler to allow you to take a punt on one of these wing backs. Reece James is more awkward because he comes on, but Alonso or Chilwell doesn't. So with Livramento, particularly the next three, which are, you know, Chelsea's good games, Livramento's got Burnley, Watford, and Villa, and then Norwich. So if Chilwell or Alonso doesn't play, you're getting in a player in good form with good fixtures. So I wouldn't be panicking if I had Alonso or Chilwell. I would be panicking if I own Reece James, which I do, and he doesn't start against Norwich.
What are you going to do with him longer term? Are you going to keep him? I mean, you are this week because you've got other issues.
But... yeah, I mean, it depends. I mean, if he doesn't start against Norwich, I'm going to have to get rid of him.
He'll start against Norwich. Surely he must.
I mean, you would think so, wouldn't you? I mean, he's posting, when he plays, he's posting the best attacking numbers in the league of all defenders.
I can't see a team sheet without Reece James on it this weekend. I really can't.
I can.
They're going to need... yeah, but they're going to need... Right, I mean, I know it's Norwich, but they're going to be without a lot of their attacking players. They're going to need their attacking players.
I know. But like every week, I go into this thinking, Reece James is your most natural wing-back, apart from Alonso in the side. Like, surely he nails down that right wing-back spot. And they play... you know, as Plaqueta though, or Chalobah comes into the team and plays really well. And
I mean, he is attacking.
Yeah, he's very attacking. But I would have thought, you know, given that Reece James is an international player, and I would have thought he would... I honestly thought Reece James would be a Tuchel favourite because he offers so much attacking and defensive. You know, he was playing a little bit of right centre-back last season, so he's, like, versatile. So I thought this was going to be a big season for him. But he's... I mean, he's had a couple of injuries and he's been a bit in and out. But yeah, hopefully this is the one that, yeah. Put it this way, I wouldn't be buying Reece James. I'm going to hold him. If I was going to be buying a defender, I'd definitely be buying Rudiger.
Yeah. I mean, I've got Rudiger. I'm happy-ish with Rudiger now.
That's the thing, isn't it? You're either happy-ish with one of the centre-backs, or you take a punt on Chilwell or Alonso, and you're ecstatic when they start, but you're devastated when they don't. It's complete risk and reward. It is, yeah. I think you can go with one of Chilwell or Alonso. If I was going to buy one of Chilwell or Alonso now, I'd buy Chilwell. But I do think Alonso's going to start against Norwich.
Yeah.
But it's very tough.
Let's see.
Let's see.
It's a roulette again.
It is. It's always a roulette. Roulette with City, roulette with Chelsea. Yeah, it's all very
interesting. It'll be all right with City this week. We had enough rotation with them last week and we got enough subs off in the 60-odd minutes in the Champions League. So hopefully Pep is kind.
Yeah.
We need Pep to be kind this weekend with all the other issues we've got. We need kind Pep.
Yeah. And you just know he's not going to be kind Pep. It'd be Cancelo that misses out or something like that.
Benches Cancelo, right?
Oh,
yeah.
I just know it. Right, just before we finish, we've just had our first super chat. So thank you from Ahmed Mosen. Says, I got Lukaku early in for Ronaldo on a free transfer. Yeah, did exactly what Chris, the owner of Fantasy Scout, did. So don't beat yourself up too much, Ahmed. If the owner of Fantasy Scout can do it, then, you know, anyone can. My only bench option is Duffy against City. Should I take out Lukaku for a hit?
Thing is as well, Lukaku's going to drop like a stone because everyone's going to exit stage right. So you're going to take a price drop with him probably. I don't see him playing next week either. If I thought there was a chance that he'd be back for game week 10, then I might be inclined to just try and ride through it. If I'd done that and just bought him in. But that ankle was so badly underneath the other player in totally the wrong direction. And Tuchel's been talking about how Lukaku needed a rest, mentally needed a rest. I just can't see him being back in the next two. And then if he's not back in the next two, you've only really got maybe one more game before you want to look to swap him anyway. So I take a hit.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you're asking something. Duffy against City, realistically, Brighton are going to concede. No. I mean, Duffy's is a threat from set pieces, but
City's defence.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
Good.
I mean, the odds are that Duffy's going to get 1 or 2 points in that game. I would risk the 4 points to try and get a Vardy haul against Brentford, or if you've got money to move up to Kane. I would just back like a premium striker for 4 points over Duffy this week.
Yeah.
So yeah. I would definitely do it.
And if you go with one of those premium ones, you're not going to regret it next week either. So
no, you know, it's risk and reward. When you make an early transfer, you are risking an injury for the sake of getting points, and sometimes it doesn't pay off. And so you just need to accept that happens and take the -4 and move on and not worry about it too much. So yeah, just take the hit. Right, that's it from us. 42 minutes. Sam, thank you so much for joining me as always. I hope your voice
held
improves.
Up all right.
Yeah, it did hold up all right. Yeah, I got used to it in the end. I can't remember what your normal voice sounds like.
Hopefully that'll be back next week.
Yeah, we'll be back next week ahead of game week 10. But yeah, Sam, thanks. And I'll